Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, we're having a little bit of a hometown celebration, talking about nuestro Nueva York, the city where we live and where we produce Latino USA. Now, in case you hadn't heard, the city recently went through a major shift in leadership, electing its first Democratic mayor in 20 years. And that has meant more Latinos and Latinas in positions of real power. One of those is Melissa Mark Viverito, who is now the speaker for the New York City Council, one of the most powerful political roles in the Big Apple. Madam Speaker, Melissa Mark Viverito is here with us in our studios in Harlem. Welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you, Maria. It's a pleasure to be here.
Full disclosure, you and I went to college together. We actually worked in radio together. And you made a decision somewhere along the line that you wanted to not focus on journalism, but to focus on politics. Did you ever imagine that you would be the speaker for the New York City Council?
Well, I never imagined myself to be in politics first and foremost. I think the seeds were planted, obviously, in my upbringing, having a mother who had been active, who was a feminist, who took me to rallies growing up in Puerto Rico, and my father being a very socially conscious doctor who used to provide care to people whether or not they could pay. You know, it kind of germinated that idea of, like, giving back and activism and involvement. And it really didn't come to play until I came to New York and went to college, really coming into an environment where you started to see and experience some level of prejudice, discrimination, of being seen as other. So that just kind of really got me to be an activist. And graduating college, became very involved in the nonprofit sector, working for the community, and being engaged at a local level in my community board. And so all of that kind of started really propelling me in a direction of being more engaged and involved. And I got recruited, so to speak. Some community people that became my mentors kind of said, you know, you really should consider running for office. We could really use some leadership.
And didn't you think, I mean, or was one of your reactions like, are you kidding me? Get involved in New York City politics?
Right. I mean, when you're an activist, you're on the outside rattling the cage, right? And trying to tell electives that they're not doing enough. So it obviously switched the dynamic for me. And I considered it and I decided to do it. And I did win, obviously. And so I just, grew into this position and just using the opportunity to have being in an elected position to really amplify the voice of a community that has historically been disenfranchised, been left out of decision making, and really started to really push policies for more equality, inclusion, and not being afraid to really stick to your principles and speak out. And it was a hard road. It was not an easy road. Now we are in a position where we have a mayor, you know, Democratic mayor for the first time in 20 years, a progressive mayor, and now a progressive council that really wants to work on policies that are going to have an impact and demonstrate that an inclusive public policy is not one that is ineffective.
So how do you think about progressive politics, Latino politics, as having some kind of a nexus or intersection, at least in New York City?
No, definitely. I mean, when I talk about what I truly believe in, you know, when you talk about equality, when you talk about social justice, when you talk about giving everybody a chance to succeed, then that affects Latinos, that affects African Americans, that affects Asian Americans. But the reality is that New York City, because of its sheer size and because we are so diverse, right? We are a majority minority, and I don't like to use the word, but just in quotes so people can understand, city. And so to have to be able to enact these policies and show that they can succeed and be effective in New York City, as large as we are, can inspire, right? And really can nurture that progressive movement in other parts of the country. That's what we want to show. We want to showcase what we can do here when we talk about paid sick leave, when we talk about being inclusive of our immigrant communities and providing services and being, you know, somewhat of a sanctuary city. And I think that can definitely serve as an inspiration to other areas in this country.
So from the time when you were here, when you and I first got to New York to now, how do you think that New York, how do you think that the presence, the growing diversity of Latinos in the city, how has it changed or impacted the character of the city?
Well, the first thing you have to see is the changes that we're seeing in terms of leadership positions. And the fact that I'm the first Latina, the first Puerto Rican to hold any sort of office that has citywide influence.
Which is a lot of people would just think, wait a second, are you saying that in New York City you are now the first Latino, Latina to have held a major position of influence in city government?
Yes, and it's a humbling, obviously, a humbling situation to be in, and I know that there's a lot of expectation, but those breaking those barriers are really incredibly important. You know, sometimes people want to say, oh, you know, we're colorblind or we should be colorblind. I don't believe that because we bring different perspectives. I think the whole conversation and debate that emerged when Sonia Sotomayor was, you know, a candidate for the Supreme Court is like, you know, she lived some experiences. As a Latina woman, as a Puerto Rican woman, that helped really provide insight into an important function. And that can be lost. We need and to really look for those experiences that sometimes people from other backgrounds will never have. So to have, you know, a Bill de Blasio who has progressive ideals, but then to have a Letitia James, the first African-American woman in a citywide position, to have Melissa Mark Viverito now, the first Latina to be in a position of citywide influence. I mean, it is a significant shift for this city. And I think that it's really important if we want government to be of the people, it has to be inclusive of the people.
You have really come out very clearly about New York City being a haven for child refugees from Central America. Have you been effective? What, in fact, is the city doing in terms of the conversation about becoming a haven for these children?
So in terms of whether it's the housing, you know, of children and their families, we know that I think in New York we have about 3,000 children that have come because we are an immigrant city. So a lot of these children may have relatives, extended family already here. So my understanding based on the numbers is about 3,000 children. But now we know that as of today, there's the expedited cases, right, for deportations. And these children do not have legal representation. So I know that our public advocate yesterday, you know, did a press conference calling for people to provide pro bono legal services. That's one thing we immediately need to do. Also, how can we, and I know some nonprofits are having conversations with the feds about whether or not they can receive some level of federal funding to house children. So it's a bit in flux because it is such a crisis and it's happening so quickly. Sometimes the policies aren't keeping up.
Another place where you have become front and center is the conversation about New York City working to implement a municipal ID program.
Yes.
Municipal ID, what is that? It's basically a city ID for anyone, and it can really help undocumented people, clearly, but it could also help others.
Yes.
So where do things stand in terms of New York City, in effect, becoming the largest city to ever implement a municipal ID program?
Definitely was a priority for us, me now as speaker, and then it was great to hear the mayor also say that he believed in it. So we were able to expedite it to that extent. We had the support internally in the council, and we made it happen. It's already law. The mayor signed it. Now it's a matter of implementation. So between us and as a council and the city agencies that have to put this in place, we want to make sure that we are ready to roll it out in January of 2015. And as you said, this is a municipal ID for every New Yorker. Obviously, the press and some critics are focusing on the undocumented, you know, the benefit to the undocumented community. This is about being able to avail yourself to city services. And this is a way of validating people that live here, that are contributing here, that are already part of the fabric of our city and our communities. And so for a senior who may have difficulty accessing a state ID, they now can have a city ID, which may give them discounts to services, can help them open up a bank account, et cetera. For the transgender member of our community who can self-identify on the card when you can't do that on state IDs. And then for the undocumented, that it's a way of, again, reinforcing that they are here, they are paying taxes. And so it's a way of them being coming out of the shadows and feeling comfortable that they can go to a police officer if they need assistance personally, for instance, a domestic violence victim, or if they've been a witness to a crime and being able to show an ID and not be afraid to approach any sort of city official. And again, as I said at the beginning, we are a city that will never ask for anyone's documentation.
Right, and that's been the critique, right?
Yes.
The critique is like, oh my God, now the city is going to have access to all of these people's information, predominantly the undocumented. And there's concern that then it could be handed over in some way, shape, or form to law enforcement that then leads to a possible deportation, et cetera. Why not go ahead and make this ID card a smart card that actually is tied to banking and access for the unbanked? How do you deal with those criticisms?
We are very mindful that the information is not to be shared. And we have a commitment that that's the case, and we're going to put certain measures in place. The NYPD has signed on, meaning that they will accept this ID as a formal form of ID, and that's important. Now we have to engage in conversations with banks, with financial institutions, to say that they will accept the ID if someone wants to open a bank account. That's really important, that someone could use the ID if they want to sign up for a lease, right? And so this is a way that is really important for the economic vibrancy of New York City as well. And I think that that's something that sometimes is overlooked. If we can make something like this succeed in a city of New York with 8.3 million people as a progressive and inclusive policy, then it can serve as a model for others that would like to consider and implement the same.
The New York Daily News, Madam Speaker, has singled out a contractor hired to get these ID cards rolled out. It's Gartner Incorporated. Mm-hmm. They have a long history of going way over budget for projects that they do in New York City, like the upgrade of 911 or the Department of Consumer Affairs. So, you know, when a time when everything is being watched to the dollars, how do you, as Speaker, take the role of essentially overseeing that the money spent on the City ID program will be well spent?
So our responsibility, and we played a very active role when the whole City Times scandal was emerging. We had hearings from the Contracts Committee that exposed a lot of what was happening. So we're obviously not interested in repeating that. These are taxpayer dollars. We want to be efficient. This is information that came out recently. I know we're aware of it, and we definitely would like to look into it. We don't want to repeat mistakes. But our interest is definitely to have this municipal ID program rolled out in the most efficient way possible, in the most responsible way. And so we want to, you know, we're stewards of the taxpayers, and we have to make sure that we're being responsible with their funds. So we will be looking into this, and we'll we have our set of questions also for the administration. That's something that we have a responsibility to follow up on.
Madam Speaker, thank you so much for joining us in our studios here in Harlem.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.